Let's return to Genesis chapter number 30, verse number 12, as we continue looking at Jacob's really strange life after he was tricked into marrying the two daughters of Laban. Immediately, the two sisters engaged in a baby contest, trying to claim the commitment and affection of Jacob to them. So about 10 months or so after the wedding, Leah gives birth to the first son, Reuben. And all the names are related to the wife or the sister thinking, I'm in control of the situation here. So the first son is Reuben, which means see a boy, see a son. Then probably 10, 11 months after that, Leah has a second boy, and she names him Simeon, which means God's hearing me, God's listening. And then, probably again, about 10 months or so after that, she gives birth to a third son and gives this one the name Levi, which means attachment, because she was thinking, now, Jacob's going to be attached to me. And then she gives birth to a fourth son, whom she names Judah, or praise. Now, while she was pregnant with that fourth son, that's when Rachel decides to invoke the surrogacy law. And so, at some point shortly after Judah's birth, Bilhah, the surrogate for Rachel, has a boy, and Rachel gives him the name Dan, which means vindication, because she felt that God was intervening on her behalf now. And then it is at that point when Bilhah gets pregnant a second time that Rachel insists that Jacob take her maidservant, Zilpah, as her surrogate. And so we end up with two boys born, very close proximity to one another, both from the surrogate moms. The first of the two would be son number six, Naphtali, who was born to Bilhah for Rachel, and his name has got to do with my struggle. So Rachel felt like she was in a struggle for the affection of Jacob. And that struggle is with her sister. And then comes along son number seven. And he's born to Zilpah, but he belongs legally to Leah. And so Leah gives him the name Gad, which is the Hebrew way of talking about being fortunate, lucky. And so she's feeling lucky now because she's still ahead in the baby game. All right, so let's pick up in chapter number 30, verse number 12, as the baby contest continues. And keep in mind that we are still only a handful of years into the marriage, and we've got seven kids. All right? So these kids are coming along fast. Verse number 12. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for women have called me happy. And so she gave him, or called his name, Asher, which is Hebrew for happy. And then we have a little episode that brings out again the struggle between the two sisters. In the days of wheat harvest, so that tells us it's in the late spring, early summer of this particular year, Reuben, now little Reuben is the oldest boy, and so he is out kind of exploring on his own. He's roughly about 4, maybe, or 5 years old, something like that, I think. And so he's out exploring, and it says he found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Now, a little bit of uncertainty here of what's meant by the mandrakes. Mandrakes are a plant that has really pretty flowers on it, but the root has this funny shape, sometimes considered to be a human sort of shape to it. And so ancient peoples, and even some of the modern peoples, have thought that the mandrake plant, usually the root, but sometimes the rest of it, has some sort of quality of helping grow affection and maybe even get you pregnant. So little Reuben is out probably flower gathering for mama, and he brings these flowers back. She probably recognizes them for mandrake flowers, and they probably go back and get the roots for it. So that's when Rachel finds out that Leah has these mandrakes. So the second half of verse 14 says, "Then Rachel said to Leah, 'Please give me some of your son's mandrakes.'" So either the flowers, or if they went back out and got the roots, then the roots. So why does she want them? She wants them because Rachel has not had her own boy yet, her own son or child from her own body. So she is probably hoping to reverse that with these plants. Now, Leah's attitude is this. She said to her, "Is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" So that sounds very, very hurtful, very, very hot, very hateful, doesn't it? These two sisters, which I presume that they might have gotten along when they were younger, they are now in such a struggle with one another that they have a hard time even speaking peacefully. And Leah accuses Rachel of stealing her husband. Because remember, Leah is the senior wife because she got married first. Even though it was through trickery, she got married first. And so she considers Rachel to be the interloper. And of course, Rachel considers her to be the interloper. All right, so even though she has said very angrily, "So you want my son's mandrakes just like you have stolen my husband?" Rachel says back to her this. Listen to these words. "Then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." Now this gets back to their culture, that when there was more than one wife, each of them had the right to sexual relationships with the husband. And since there's more than one, they have to have some sort of schedule. And apparently, on the schedule, it's Rachel's turn. So Rachel says, "I'll buy your mandrakes by giving you my conjugal rights tonight. I'll exchange Jacob in the bed for them." And just how strange this is to us is illustrated by what happens next. And that is, when Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him. So he's coming back from a hard day's work, and his senior wife meets him before he gets back to the encampment and says to him, "You must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." And so he lay with her that night. So she meets him out there and says, "You belong to me tonight. I bought the conjugal rights for the evening. You have to come in to me." And apparently, because of the long-standing legal practices of the Upper Middle East, up in Mesopotamia, he doesn't have a choice in the matter. He owes it. Now, imagine what sort of impact, excuse me, this baby contest is having on him when he doesn't even have a choice as to which woman he ends up sleeping with on any particular night. The schedule's already made up, and if they swap, he doesn't get a voice in the matter. It's just the way it is. So he goes into her, and verse 17, God listened to Leah. She conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. So she's back to getting pregnant again after a lapse of perhaps up to about a year. And this time, she said, God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband. And so she called his name Issachar, which has to do with wages. So she felt she was getting blessed by God for selling Jacob to Rachel for the night with the mandrakes. And so Leah conceived again. So apparently her body has recovered enough that she's back into the baby contest full strength. And she bore Jacob a sixth son. And this is actually going to be son, let's see, make sure I got the right number here. This is son number 10 in the total. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment now that my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons. So she called him Zebulun, which has to do with honor, as we saw the word appear in her words just a moment ago. And then afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah, which is the feminine form of Dan, or related to it. So it's got another word for vindication. And as far as we know, this is the only girl that is born in the whole baby contest. And she is going to have her own story later that will be tragic. Verse number 22. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Yosef, saying, may he who is add to me another son. So she gives him the name Addition, because in having this first son from her own body, she feels like now things have broken open and she can have more kids. Now, that's not going to be the case for several years, but that was her hope. And so this marks the end of the baby contest. And Leah wins the game by quite a bit because she has the most natural sons and the most sons overall that she's given to Jacob. And when you look at this and consider the chronology, that means these 11 boys and the one girl are all born within 7 years of the marriage ceremony or ceremonies that happened when Jacob married Leah and Rachel. That is a very fast growth of a family, isn't it? Verse number 25. Jacob is now ready to leave. He feels like, I've got a big bunch of kids. I think I want to go home to mom and dad. Now, you might remember that mom said that she would contact him when she felt that it was safe for him to come back. there's nothing here to indicate that he's gotten that message. So this is just him wanting to leave. Verse 25, as soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own home and country. So it might be that now his favorite wife, his beloved of many years, 14 years to be precise, has given him a son of her body. He's ready to leave. He's paid his contract twice, all 14 years. And so, verse 26, give me my wives and my children for whom I've served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your sight, I've learned by divination that he who is has blessed me because of you. Now, what does this mention about divination? Is the wording such that he's simply saying, I can tell by divine circumstances that you are a blessed person and I'm benefiting from having you in my employ? Because that certainly would have been obvious. The blessing of Abraham and Isaac is now on Jacob. And one of the key components of that blessing is, he who blesses you, I will bless, and he who curses you, I will curse. That's the promise of God to this particular family line. So because Laban has given him these jobs and given the chance for Jacob to work hard for him, everything that Jacob touches, either for himself or for Laban, prospers. So Laban has a lot more material possessions now, thanks to Jacob's work. So he really doesn't want Jacob to run off. He would like to have some more of those blessings. So he offers him a new contract. Verse 28, name your wages and I will give it. So tell me what you want and I will provide that. So Jacob said back to him, you yourself know how I've served you and how your livestock have fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it is increased abundantly. And he who is has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? So how am I going to take care of my prosperity? How am I going to increase my real property if I stay here with you? Verse 31, he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. And then he offers the deal. And this deal seems to be related to a dream that Jacob has apparently had that he references later. He says, let me pass through your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the black among the sheep or the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen. So he offers this counter to Laban. I will collect all of the non-solid animals in your flock that exist right now. I'll take all the striped, all the speckled, and I'll take them out and I'll move them far away from your flock, and the speckled and the spotted flock will be mine. Now, in their culture at that time, solid colored animals were the norm and therefore the ones that you kind of desired. So he is going to clear out all of the non-conformity animals from Laban's flock, and that flock will become his. And Laban is all on board with this because he knows this is going to be a minority, because the majority of times, these animals throw solid colored kids and lambs. All right, so Laban said, good, let it be as you have said. But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had white on it, every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Now, some commentaries believe that Laban cheated Jacob at this point. And if that's the case, then that's not good. That's a really bad thing. But I honestly believe this is the fulfillment of Jacob's offer. Is let's divvy up the animals, separate the non-standard colors from the standard solid colors, and the standard solid colors are going to be yours, while the others will be mine. So I think they actually did the divvying up at this point. And so now Jacob begins the process of trying to encourage Laban's flock to throw off-colored animals in order to increase his wage. And he does something here that we call imprinting. It doesn't have any type of basis in science, but it is a long-standing belief system among people that keep animals. And that is, whatever your animals look at will somehow affect their babies. Now, we will again later find out that Jacob is doing some of these things, not just simply out of superstition, but because God showed him something in a dream. Because Jacob is functioning as a prophet, and God is giving him an inside track. So while we see him doing some things that we would consider superstitious, I want you to keep in the back of your mind that God has given him a dream saying this is going to turn out to his benefit. So verse 37, Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees, and he peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. And then he set the sticks that he'd peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that's the water troughs, that is the watering places where the flocks came to drink, and since they bred when they came to drink. So his idea is, I'm going to put these stripy looking sticks in the water troughs, and when the animals come and look at that, and then they breed very quickly after that, then they're going to throw stripy or speckled babies. And so the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. And he put his own droves apart, and he did not put them with Laban's flock. So as soon as he's got these new babies, and they're old enough to get away from mom, he takes them off by themselves into his flock. And so he's breeding his own flock, and they're going to be throwing an awful lot of speckled and spotted because he's breeding speckled and spotted with one another. And we know that genetically that tends to throw the same type. And then he adds this, whenever the stronger the flock was breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there, so that the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. So he is trying to make the stronger lines of breed his, speckled and spotted, while Laban is getting his straight up solid color, but they are not as strong animals. And we should keep in mind that during the 6 years that this happens, Laban is keeping track, and he keeps changing the rules. So when he sees that there's an awful lot of striped animals showing up, he says, no, 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 no more striped animals for you. Instead, it should only be the speckled ones. And then when speckled ones are the ones that start getting produced, because God is making it happen that way, he changes his mind again, and he gives another off-color pattern that he wants to talk about. Maybe he talks about, oh, they got to be two-tone on the legs. The legs have to be different colors than the main body. Whatever it was he did, he kept changing the parameters. And Jacob will complain about this later. Even though God keeps blessing him and increasing his non-standard flock. So verse 43, thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants and camels and donkeys. So once the animals belong to him because they're non-standard color, he can then sell them off or trade them off, and he can start getting other things like donkeys and camels and hiring his own servants to take care of these things, which he's going to need because he's getting bunches and bunches of animals to take care of. So we are now going to move next time to the end of the 6 years that Jacob works for Laban under these circumstances. And it will be at that point that God is ready for Jacob to go back to Canaan, because now he has the wherewithal to be his own man and to be at the head of his own tent city and his own community. So go ahead and mark your place at the beginning of chapter 31, and I'll see you tomorrow.